You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. A little bit of everything this week with which to fill the first six and a half minutes of this show. Some politics, maybe the bond market, tax policy, probably also the Delta variant, oh, by the way. So let's go. Sudeep Reddy is at Politico. Kate Davidson is at the Wall Street Journal. Hey.
Hey, Kai. Okay.
So, Sudeep, let me start with you and this executive order omnibus that the president issued today. 72 items, lots of it in there. We're going to talk about one specific thing later in the program. But I do want to set aside for a second the fact that he threw everything but the kitchen sink in there and point out that he's really trying to rebalance the economy here from corporations to consumers.
He is indeed. I would have expected that we might take 72 days to roll these out. Maybe the messaging strategy would have consumed August with this. But they really seem intent on coming out with the big bang approach and showing that this is collectively a lot of small steps. But the larger message is the shift in power, trying to move the power in the economy away from employers having the power to workers having the power. And you've seen that in other ways as well. The way President Biden has kind of just like shrugged off the worker shortage that mm-hmm. businesses are complaining about. He said, well, just like pay him more. And his staff is behind this as well. Just like this is the chance for workers to command more pay and more benefits and more ability to negotiate. Yeah. And so that's what's happening. It might be brief. I don't know that this is going to last for all that long, but these are all steps and some of them will be for consumers as well. Many of these 72 could really shape slowly how we do things.
I chuckled, but he did in fact at one point say, just pay him more and that'll take care of it. Kate, let me ask you this though. These are executive orders, or it is an executive order. It's not a law. And as we've seen, as we go ping-ponging from administration to administration, a stroke of a pen and it's an undone deal.
That's right. And it also takes a long time to implement these. Well, I should say it's unclear how long it would take, right? I mean, that's a big unknown is how hard and how fast all the various agencies that are involved in this, you know, will adopt new rules and regulations. And then that is really likely to set up showdowns with, you know, U.S. businesses. Then that could take a long time to resolve. So, right. It's easy, you know, it's an easy stroke of the pen, but right. It's all the work after that. And then, as you said, it's not as lasting, of course. Is something that's enacted into law.
Sudeep, I want to do the bond market for a second and inflation all in the same breath. Neil Irwin in the New York Times had a piece on this this week, but those who watch the bond market have been commenting as well that the bond market, a predictor of inflation and where growth in this economy is going, does not seem to be thinking inflation is going to be a thing. Yields on the 10-year, as we talk about every day on this program, are actually falling. Help. What is going on?
Yeah, you know, there are times when the bond market is screaming and telling you there's a problem in the economy. We actually saw it at the start of last year before the stock market reacted to the pandemic. We saw it at other points in recent years. And you have to take those seriously because they can be useful signs. Bond traders do understand some of those. There are other factors going on here, though, that led to this giant plunge in bond yields. And it's the global order that we're dealing with. There's so many forces globally that point to maybe we're not going to have this the 1920s style boom repeating in the 2020s. Maybe there are other problems underneath, and some of them come from the Delta variant. Some of them are more structural. But it's clear that the level of excitement people have about the economy, at least globally, needs to be tamped down just a little bit.
And I'll just point out here for those keeping track on their calendars, next week we get consumer prices, the Consumer Price Index, so it'll be another look at inflation. Kate, let me take you to Secretary Yellen. And I have here written in my notes AMT, alternative minimum tax, but that's not really what she's working on. She's working on a global minimum tax. She's getting a lot of countries lined up behind her. But she does also have to get 535 members of the Congress of the United States, or at least majorities in the houses, to agree to this. And I think that's maybe the bigger challenge.
It would seem. I mean, I talked to a number of folks a couple weeks ago, was trying to line up some reporting ahead of her trip to Venice. And some of them were really doubtful that she could get even the G20 countries behind this. And then the Thursday before her trip to Venice, the OECD comes out and says, hey, we have 130 countries. It was pretty surprising. And from what we can tell, she managed to break this impasse. The talks had kind of stalled at the end of the Trump administration. So it's you know, to her credit, they got to this point where there's the broad contours of an agreement. But right, every country now has to, first of all, they have to work out the details of an implementation plan. Where are they going to set the tax rate? But they all have to go back to their legislatures. And I think, you know, of all those countries, the eyes are really on the U.S. Congress. And are they going to agree to these changes? You know, they're not, an international agreement doesn't mean much, you know, unless it becomes a law. You know, you can't really enforce it. So, right, you have Republicans who are generally not that crazy about this idea of a global minimum tax. But for the Biden administration, it's really a key piece of their overall agenda. They want to raise corporate tax rates here. And if you raise them a lot here and other countries don't raise them, you have a problem, right? There's an incentive for businesses to leave. And so that's why it's so important. So it's a really big test for her to see how they can advance this piece of the agreement that they worked so hard to get the rest of the world on board with.
Yeah, and she is spending a whole lot of time on this. Sudeep, real quick, we got 45 seconds. I mentioned this yesterday, but just because it's going to keep on coming up, the debt limit is rearing its ugly head again, and there are now reports that the virus is going to make it really tricky to figure out exactly when we're going to hit that debt limit. And oh, by the way, now you got 30 seconds.
Yeah, throw all these things together, and then you get the cocktail of trouble. Look, we're actually, I think, just weeks away from hitting the 10-year anniversary of the debt downgrade of the United States. And we have learned something in the past decade. There's going to be a lot of crying going on, a lot of screaming leading into it. But generally, we seem to be able to plow through these after getting through that momentary tantrum. So hopefully it'll just be a tantrum this time again.
We do have to do the dance. Sudeep Reddy at Politico, Kate Davidson at The Wall Street Journal on a Friday afternoon. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.